The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a new resource for children ages 8 through 11. Luther's Small Catechism for Kids contains colorful icons and illustrations to help guide children through each tenet of the Christian faith. Learn more about Luther's Small Catechism for Kids at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. An easy-to-use resource for teaching the faith in a simple way, Luther's Small Catechism for Kids. I think the name says it all, the Book of Lamentations. One long lament from the prophet Jeremiah. Why is he lamenting? Why is he the weeping prophet? What does he mourn? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year continues. Today we're going to talk about Lamentations. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, welcome back.
Pleased to be with you, Todd.
Remind us of what we said last time.
We were talking about the last four kings of Judah. That was the sons and one grandson of Josiah. And there was kind of a pattern involved here. One of these guys would rule for 3 months, then another for 11 years, and then another for 3 months, followed by a successor for 11 years. Every one of these guys was faithless, not at all like Josiah. Judah was really on borrowed time under their reigns. Its days as an independent kingdom were coming to an end. Shortly after Josiah had died in 609 BC, the Babylonians defeated the last remnants of the Assyrian Empire, and they broke the control of Egypt over Palestine. So these Babylonians of the new Babylonian Empire were going to be the force to reckon with now and for the next several years. In 605, they deported a group of captives to Babylon, including young Daniel. In 597 BC, there was another deportation, a bigger deportation, taking, among others, Ezekiel to Babylon. It also took a king, Josiah's grandson, who had been on the throne only 3 months. He was followed as king by his uncle, Zedekiah, who proved to be defiant toward both God and man. He polluted the temple. He rebelled against the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar. Under Zedekiah's leadership, the people mocked the messengers of God and made fun of the prophets like Jeremiah. Zedekiah and his leading priests despised God's word. So the Lord brought the Babylonians against them yet again, and this time decisively. They laid siege to Jerusalem for a year and a half, and at length they made their way into the city. Sacred vessels from the temple were taken and brought to Babylon. The temple itself and the king's palace and other great houses in the city were all burned. Some people were executed. Others were taken into captivity in Babylon. This was the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC.
That brings us to another book that God inspired by the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, Lamentations.
Yeah, in this book, Jeremiah does, well, just what that name for the book says. He laments. He laments the fall of Jerusalem and Judah, expressing deep grief over these events. Lamentations is a poetical book. Often it personifies Jerusalem as an individual who is going through anguish on account of deep distress. The Book of Lamentations has been divided into five chapters, and four out of the five are written in a very sophisticated and artful way, really resembling some of the Psalms. Chapters 1 through 4 are all acrostics. In three out of the four chapters, the first verse begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. Then the second verse begins with the next letter, Beit. And the next verse begins with the third letter, Gimel, and so on through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. But the middle chapter of this five-chapter book, Lamentations 3, stands out as the great masterpiece, artistically speaking, because there, the first three verses begin with an aleph. The next three begin with a bet. The next three with a gimel, and so on, for a total of 66 verses, 22 times 3.
Here is the most famous section of that lament. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord does not cast off forever. But though he causes grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. What's that about, Ken?
Well, Jeremiah was speaking and writing in the wake of, well, considerable bloodshed and loss of life. So there was weeping and groaning and lamenting here in Lamentations, and that should come as no surprise. Because, like we've just said, Jerusalem had just been invaded, the temple was destroyed, many people were taken off into exile. Still, the Book of Lamentations in general, and even this section where hope for the people comes shining through, may sound alien to our ears, because we live in a therapeutic society. We tend to see all human need in terms of illness, and we try to counter illness as quickly as possible. The therapeutic society cannot imagine anything good or constructive about suffering. Its impulse is to get in there and fix things, certainly to alleviate pain as much as possible. Someone has said that a lot of churches have praise bands, but he's never heard of anybody with a lament band. That's just not the kind of thing that occurs to people in our society. But there is something to biblical lamentation. It reflects a robust faith, a faith that is not plastic and Pollyanna-like. It's a faith that faces the real world, that has no place for a superficial Christianity that consists of so many smiley faces. Jesus did not come to serve people who were well, he said. He came to save the sick. He came not for those who were whole, but for those who were broken. Have you ever heard somebody, Todd, say that he wants just honest Christianity? Well, one of the things such a person really wants is probably biblical lament. A moment ago, you read the words, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth."
So, a biblical lament is not simply getting something off your chest.
Right. On a therapeutic model, you might be tempted to say that lament pretty much starts and ends with getting your emotions out, so you feel better. But biblical lament was corporate, not so much focused on the individual. And whether it was being said by a group or by an individual, biblical lament was not really directed to other people. It was directed to God. The earlier verses, before your section that you read there, Todd, the earlier verses of Lamentations 3 say that God had mutilated the body and broken the spirit. He had left no way of escape. He had treated his people like prey to be hunted. It seemed that everything they hoped for was gone. And then, Todd, there is this. When the words of lament have been spoken or cried, next there comes silence. Never underestimate the importance of that silence. Through the psalmist, the Lord had said, "Be still and know that I am God." Well, Lamentations 3 puts it this way. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. Silence acknowledges that we stand defenseless before the one against whom we have sinned, the Lord who stops every mouth and holds all the world accountable. We do not presume upon his grace.
In Lamentations 3, it also says, there may yet be hope. What is that about?
Well, the hope for sinners stands out as better than any relief to our troubles that we could possibly imagine. The text said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Despite the fact that we have not deserved any of it, the Lord has steadfast love and mercies new every morning. He's stubborn. He remains stubbornly loyal and faithful to his word and his people. So he acts for our good and for our salvation. The Lord himself is our portion. We can dare to hope in this loving and merciful Lord because his compassion does come to the fore. Quietly, we can wait for his salvation, confident that he is not going to disappoint us. Yes, we stand defenseless before him, but he himself comes to our defense. And of course, he does that in Christ. Maybe we think that our own yokes of suffering and lamentation seem heavier than any other. But no one has uttered more profound laments than Jesus himself. When he said from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was not the outcry of a sinner who knew he had it coming. This was God forsaking God, the eternal Father forsaking the eternal Son, whom he had loved from all eternity. Christ was going through all of this for the world. Out of his love for us, he kept to the plan of salvation. He saw it all the way through. He lived to tell the tale in his resurrection. And as with Jesus, so also with those who are baptized into Christ, that is, for you and me. When God wants to make alive, he does it through death. When he wants to make right, first he proclaims guilt and crushes. When he wants to take to heaven, he makes a path leading seemingly through hell. Biblical-type lament believes, because of Christ, what Jeremiah said in the midst of his grief, that God will not cast off forever, that he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. The work that God is really interested in doing is blessing and saving people, and this he does in Christ.
What lies beneath biblical lament to make it what it is?
Biblical-style lament knows that when it comes to our status before God, the important word is not therefore, but rather nevertheless. See, the world thinks in terms of the therefore. You please God, therefore you get good things. You displease him, therefore you get suffering. It's that simple, the world thinks. Open and shut. But that's not the way God operates. Instead, his strong love and tender mercies come to us on a nevertheless basis. We are completely unworthy. Nevertheless, the Lord loves, he redeems. And Christ is the key to this nevertheless. Despite our sufferings, we hope in the one who died and rose for us. He continues to invite you and me. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light.
Give us your true and false review.
True or false? The book of Lamentations follows the destruction of Jerusalem. True. And that happened in 586 BC, after the prophets had been talking about it for a long time. It finally happened, and lament really was an appropriate response. True or false? Biblical lament amounts to getting your sadness and regret off your chest. False. Biblical lament is directed toward God. It's only able to come before God as a result of his promise. And all the promises of God, as the scriptures say, find their yes in Christ. Finally, true or false, despite the yoke of suffering, the eyes of faith see good coming from God. True. And that's true only because of Christ.
Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Pastor Tom Baker will be with us on the other side of the break to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll talk about Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Declaring to you the whole counsel of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.